Bé, doncs moltes gràcies. Seguim amb...
Thank you so much. We'll now move on to the second speaker of this speech of this morning, and now the turn is for Olga Kucharuk, who is in charge of research at Museum Booster. She works focusing on research on audience development and on digital transformation from cultural institutions. As a member of Museum Booster, she has been working on the project Future Museum, a research platform that is based on a practical community aiming to help museums to apply advanced knowledge in their strategic planning, and also in the Museum Innovation Barometer, an annual study on innovation and the ability of cultural institutions to innovate. Olga has also carried out research for the Digital Incubator for Museums, the purpose of which was to support small and medium-sized museums in developing digital projects and strategies. So thank you so much, Olga. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. Really happy to present the outcomes of our research that we do at Museum Booster. And as you can see from my first slide, I'm going to present to you the holistic visitor journey model, which sheds light into how physical, digital, and emotional engagement in museums can be combined for a meaningful experience. So, the holistic visitor journey model was developed by the Museum Booster, with our research partners under the framework of the Future Museum Project. And the research at the Future Museum Project is driven by the mission to help museums be relevant more to more people and to matter more to more people. And thinking about the relevance about the of museum visit, and I also encourage you also to think what the museum visit means to you. One can definitely say collections, knowledge, learning, content, and it's really true, and we'll have later on in my presentation an evidence that proves this point. But should we also think if the value we assign to a museum visit as institutions always align with how the value is perceived by our visitors? And here is the high time for a personal example. So my team is based in Vienna, Austria. I'm based in Berlin, and sometimes my home office extends a little bit outside of my apartment to the libraries, cafes, or museums. And for me, for example, it is very important that the museum cafe is laptop friendly and I can do some work and then go to the gallery, see the exhibition. And one can say the social function of museums is really important to the visitors because they always often come with their friends and family and would like to spend some time maybe talking after visiting the exhibition. So it's definitely a highlight for some of our visitors. Some people come to the shop to buy some presents for their friends and family, and for example, a ticketed obligation can be an obstacle for them because they do not necessarily want to see the exhibition. They just want to find something very special, which represents the local history or culture, and present it to their loved ones. Some people, of course, come with kids and they need to tend to the needs of their kids. And they need, obviously, facilities, and the visitor journey should be as smooth as possible. So how do we attune to these diverse needs of our visitors? How do we integrate these needs in building the museum experience? And most importantly, do we know enough about the needs and expectations of our visitors? I've already mentioned the Museum Booster, so it's a high time to tell you more a little bit what we do and who we are. So we do participatory research, we curate formats, we ignite collaborations, we work closely with museums and research organizations, we use audience insights to drive our research, we lean on heavily on that. And just in a nutshell, our strengths of work include research and foresight, advisory and feasibility studies, executive and leadership development, projects design implementation, and encounters design. And as was mentioned today, our flagship project is Future Museum, which is aimed at helping museums to build the strategic foresight to tackle the challenges of today and also to prepare for the future. Since 2019, we have been working with a variety of the research institutions from different countries, for example, Fraunhofer Institute from Germany, Institute for Learning Innovation, that was mentioned today, John Falk, represents it in our project, Erasmus University Rotterdam, Monash University in Australia, University of Leicester, and the audience agencies. So we are 60 cultural professionals from more than 40 institutions across 18 countries, representing a wide geographical and subject matter stretch, working together to distill the effective strategies that can be practically implied. So on board of the Future Museum, there are many institutions, really different ones. You can see some of the logos. We work with Guggenheim, Bilbao, Louisiana Museum of Modern Art, Powerhouse and Museums, Victoria in Australia, and many, many more. So here are people behind the logos and the atmosphere of our meetings. So we do meet at the venues of our participating institutions. One of the meetings took place in Centre Pompidou, so you can get the vibe and the atmosphere, how we work together, and to the point. So our research methodology, and I think it is worth talking a little bit about the methodology, because very soon I will come to the outcomes of our research. So throughout the project, we have four phases. So first, we are in the understand phase where we do the collaborative scoping, the horizon scanning. So we engage with subject matter experts, again, to harvest trends and signals and also maybe to see the challenges the institutions are facing today. Then we go into the diverge phase and look closely and introspectively into our cohort, looking at our institutions across departments and roles. We call it active phase because we have a lot of different formats. We have interviews, roundtables, also focus groups. And having discussions is really helpful, but bringing the findings together and doing the structured synthesis is also part of our research, so it's called converging, after which we go into the validating phase where we try to test if the distilled outcomes can be applied practically in the institutions. And I know you are very curious about hybrid visitors. We are going to tackle this question today. In the phase two of the Future Museum in 2023, we went actually a little bit deeper into the understanding phase and we gathered the perspectives of the audiences. Together with our partners, Fraunhofer Institute and the audience agency, we onboarded the Omnibus study, the aim of which was to understand the nature of museum visitation and non-visitation, and also understanding the expectations and needs around the online engagement and on-site engagement. So we covered a significant geography. The study was held online in Germany, and also in the Netherlands and Dutch-speaking Belgium, covering the range of respondents that is more than 2,000. And here is the graph that probably would be of some interest to you, the outcomes of this omnibus survey. So as you can see, we distilled the segments of respondents, and the first segment, which you can see on the left, is people who didn't visit the museum in a year. And the picture is not as pessimistic as it seems, because within this segment, 25% of people are actually interested in museums, just didn't get a chance to visit or didn't have time. And moving actually against the clock and looking at the bottom at the online-only engagers, this is quite a small segment to build some statistical evidence, but probably a signal for us to think that not every online visit leads us to the in-person visit. So another segment is hybrid visitors, which constitute 17%. And these are high engagers. They are very confident online. They pick up our offers on site as well, even though they are defined by their participation in our offers on site and online. They are younger, they are tech savvy. So basically, they respond very well to what museums have to offer. And probably the most alarming category and segment is in-person only, as almost one-third of the respondents visit the museum physically, but do not engage with the online offers. Also a sign for us to maybe look at how well and far-reaching our online offers are. And I'm going to share with you some sneak peeks from the survey. We will see the motivational realm, which we will call why people visit museums, but also how they engage with museums. So on the left, you can see the respondents from the Germany, and on the right, the Netherlands and Dutch-speaking Belgium. And we are going to stop on the three main motivations behind the in-person visit. For example, for Germany, what is common? People go to museums. I keep looking there. Sorry. So people tend to visit the museums for learning reasons. They want to learn something new. They want to explore something new. So which brings us back again to the question that we touched upon in the beginning. For some people, it is important to visit a museum while they are in the area, and this is also the educational purpose, but also maybe the social one, also entertainment one. And the third top reason is learning something and having educational experience. And by the way, I'm sorry, I mixed up. The first reason was actually the social engagement, to spend time with family and friends. If we look at the results from the Netherlands and Dutch-speaking Belgium, they are a little bit different. Again, the educational aspect is leading. The second reason, exploring an object or a topic, also an educational value. And the third one is actually a bit counterintuitive, seeing a museum as a restorative space for peace and quiet. So basically coming to a museum for the physical well-being. So this is our why. Coming to how. We also explored the online behaviors of our audiences. They are not tied to the museum visit, just their behaviors and habits online. So people in all countries prefer to watch a movie online, visit the museum website, listen to a podcast. So these are the formats that are most common and the formats with which people eagerly engage. So this we will need thinking about the hybrid visitor journey. Coming back to museums. Reasons for visiting museum websites. So to prepare for the museum visit, which is good, it gives us the continuity, having the information and then basically come into the museum. To explore new things, again, the educational aspect, to learn something or have educational experience. These are top reasons for going for the online engagement. And finally, as the concept of hybridity is not only online engagement versus on-site engagement, but also our pickup of digital aids as part of the physical museum visit, we also asked what aids in a museum are most preferable for the respondents. Interestingly, printed information is leading in Germany, for example, which is a bit counterintuitive because we would expect something more innovative. It's a good signal that sometimes very old-fashioned means of mediation are still very well taken by our audiences, also videos and touch screens. So you can see that the outcomes are common for both pools of respondents. So we had more questions and more outcomes, but we distilled today some cross-cutting needs for all of the segments. So what prefer our visitors, non-visitors, online visitors, and hybrid engagers? So what unites them? And we are trying to answer why they come to the museum and what value they see in the museum. Clear meaning and learning purpose. We have seen the signals. Social connections matter. For non-visitors, they matter less. So maybe if we promote the museum as a socially charged place for encounters, this could bring us to our walls. Restorative experience is also important for the visitors, having peace and quiet, engaging, having some me time maybe, and credibility as a bridge. You haven't seen it in the graphs, but people rank museums as trusted places alongside police, university, and broadcasters. So people have trust in museums. So this is our why. Coming to how visitors prefer to engage with the museums. So we can see that having media anchors across the journey is important. Again, the types of the preferred experiences are printed information, short videos, touch screens. Also, online visit can serve as a bridge to the on-site visit, as we saw from the engagement with the websites, and modular storytelling. Some snackable, bite-sized content is definitely preferred by our visitors when it comes to the engagement with the websites. So images, descriptions, and also virtual tours are preferred types of engagement. So how do we sew everything together? How do we make our visitors engage? How we bring why and how into our visitor journey? How do we make our visitor journey appealing for all of the segments? And maybe how, with the help of the designed visitor journey, we bring some people that would not go to the museum into the museum wall? Together with our partners, we developed the holistic visitor journey model, which has a lot of information in it. I will shortly describe how to work with that. Just the first point, it encompasses four stages, which is a pre-visit, arrival, visit, and post-visit. We will start from the left, and we start with the inner circle. The inner circle represents the participation prompts, how we engage our audiences across all of the stages. So you can see that this model poses the question, do we evoke enough interest looking at the left side? So is our onboarding smooth and clear for our audience? So do they get the prompts for the reflection after the visit we see at the bottom? And do we continue our communication with our visitors? The middle layer represents how we engage with our audiences. More importantly, how do we sustain the attention throughout the journey? And also, how do we make the visitor journey fluid and connected? For example, targeting and personalization, looking at the left side, is important, right? Because we know that there are different needs of our visitors, so we need to differentiate. Again, coming to the arrival stages, personalization, multi-layered information is important. Again, channeling the attention in the ecological and subtle way, not to overwhelm our visitors, and the connectedness of our services. So maybe our shop or cafe has this continued storytelling and the narrative from the exhibition continues in other elements of the service design in the museum. So how do we make the journey fluid? How we sustain the attention and interest of our visitors? And the outer circle pertains to emotion. It was developed in the collaboration with John Polk. I will stop on this a little bit later. So as you can see, the emotional experience can also be an anchor for our visitors to engage with our content and services. So again, starting on the left, do we provide enough connection to the visitor's life? Are we relevant to them? So do we provide positive social experience? And we saw from the graphs that this is of importance. Do we give enough choice and control to our visitors? So do we provide them agency? Do we engage them in the dialogue? And here I've prepared an anecdotal slide for you, quoting the Paolo Sorrentino's movie, You. So about the role of emotions and permeability of emotions. And I prompt you to think, is visitor experience even possible without the emotions? And how do we create the emotional framework for our visitors? And here, the study of John Folk becomes helpful. Right. So I will just briefly remind you that John Falk, with whom actually on whose outcomes of the research we relied heavily in building the holistic visitor journey, so he differentiates between four types of well-being: personal, intellectual, social, physical. So I will just very briefly recap and stop on each of them. So the personal well-being creates a sense of wonder, interest, and personal relevance. Intellectual well-being enables learning and supports ability to make better informed decisions. Social well-being, which we also saw from the graphs, is leading in the importance and perception of the value of the museum, is creating opportunities for social encounters and connections, feeling a part of the community, of the group, and physical well-being, which is about feeling safe and considering that museums are trusted institutions, maybe we should put more effort in creating this safe and secure environment for our visitors. So this is again according to the study of John Falk. Based on the dimensions of well-being, he distilled the principles of quality museum experiences, and many of which you will again see in the holistic visitor journey model. So how do we cater to the needs of our visitors? How do we make the journey emotional? First of all, we create the connection to visitors' life to make the relevance, to evoke and spark the emotion. So we allow visitors to make the experience their own. We maximize opportunities for choice and control, agencies of major importance, because visitors are our interlocutors. We need to engage them in the dialogue. Creating opportunities for surprise and delight, ensuring the experience feels safe and secure, designing for social encounters and interaction, making experience comfortable, convenient, giving visitors, of course, the reason to return, connecting with other experiences, and we remember about the fluidity of the visitor journey and the connection of the channels, and supporting sharing. So now, how do we sow theory and practice? So how do we create the visitor journey that supports the why people come to the museum, how they engage with the museum offers, and also the emotional framework for their quality experience? As you know, in Future Museum, we work closely with the institutions, and two of the good practices I brought today to you, absolutely by coincidence, they are from Belgium, both of them. And as part of this case studies, we will see how visitor journey can encompass absolutely different entry points that support this emotionally heightened experience. I would like to start with Musea Bruges and their project Closer to Memlin, which represents the connected digital journey for emotional resonance. This is an educational experience, and we can see how with the help of the digital means, the visitor journey becomes extended and also emotionally heightened. So Closer to Memlin is a threefold experience. So it encompasses different stages of the visitor journey and different ways to engage. It is dedicated to the overall Flemish painter of the 15th century, Hans Memlin, because the museum holds a significant part of his collection. And the culminating experience is called, actually, Closer to Memlin experience, and is located in one of the museum's locations in St. John's Hospital. So this is a touch table, and we saw from the survey that it's probably a good way for our visitors to connect with the content. With the help of which visitors can play with the motifs from the works of Hans Memlin. So they can move and shuffle things, they can change backgrounds, they can insert some elements, so they get this educational experience, which deepens their knowledge about Hans Memlin's works, but also gives them more agency. Interestingly, this experience is located in the museum's attic space. So before visitors come to this digital wall, to this digital experience, they need to go through the galleries and actually get acquainted with the works of Hans Memlin. Now that they are here, they can play with the touch screen, They can do their experiments, but not only digital element pertains to this project. There's a very heavy emotional and multisensory layer to it, as after visitors create their creations, they can just sit back and watch their works on the big screen. The environment of the place actually also echoes the motifs from the work of Hans Memling. There's grass, stones, and even artificial sheep installed there. There's also music, which was created by the contemporary composer, but reminds of the music of the 15th century. So I hope the video will work and you'll get the feeling of it.
Can I get the friends of Pinnacle and when I get the camp to show and Mo and Luke and Corey and some of the Christmas furniture and then I get the flowers from Mark and I'll just take with them. From those under the diet area of the plane shine, then it just belongs with it.
And maybe if you noticed in the beginning of the video, each single child was petting the artificial sheep, again adding to this physicality of the experience. And basically, this is an example when our attention gets channeled, so we are not overwhelmed, we can engage at our own pace. And this is how basically this closer to Memling experience was developed by Musée Bruch. But there's a previous stage to it. And again, as part of this single project. So Closer to Memling is also an app and the chatbot and the trail. So actually at the pre-visit stage, visitors can download the app and chat with the virtual representation of Hans Memling. As you can see on the right, there's an AI-powered chatbot and users can ask their questions in playful way to Hans Memling, asking how many children he had or something like that. So any questions are welcomed. You can see that it's actually the trail, because in development of this project, Musée Bruch worked closely with the local geocaching community. And geocaching is a worldwide phenomenon when participants are looking for the GPS-supported coordinates to locate the containers throughout the city. And in those containers, they can find some riddles or puzzles, so basically engage with a piece of something playful or history. And Musée Bruch did pick up this initiative and actually went outside of the museum walls to find this geocaching community, consult with them. And they installed 8 containers with the riddles and puzzles, and solving these puzzles, the participants are led to St. John's Hospital, where they can actually encounter the paintings of Hans Memling. So this is a very interesting way of engaging non-visitors, so basically coming out and working with different communities to bring them into the museum walls. And this is how this geocaching phenomenon looks like. So these containers and locations are connected to Hans Memling work and life. So there's a huge educational element to this. And there's actually a post-visit stage, which can also be a pre-visit stage, because as part of the Closer to Memling project, Musée Bruch has developed a digital platform where visitors can go deeper into the works of Hans Memling, exploring them. And what we can see here, again, the playful way of engaging. You can see the prompts, which looked quite curious and prompt us to go deeper into the content, but also very snackable way of storytelling. So again, the museum is not overwhelming users of the platform with huge text. It's just describing the details in the painting. So again, we can engage as much and as deep as we want to. Very well, this could be a pre-visit stage, the preparation from the visit, but anyways, these are multiple entry points for different kinds of visitors, combining, again, the social, the entertainment aspect, the educational aspect, and this heightened emotion. So I would refer this case to our middle circle of the visitor journey, as we can see definitely personalization. So ask Hans Memling in the chatbot whatever comes to your mind. Continued storytelling, because we bring this visit home, we can reflect on it, we can engage with the platform, and also multi-layered information. We can play with the screen, we can then rest, we can see our creation, so it's definitely a very ecological way to guide us and channel our attention throughout the visitor journey. So an amazing case which demonstrates this educational value of museum visit and how it can cater to different needs of the visitors. And in the survey, we actually also spotted the value of museum connected to the social encounters and social experience. And the Royal Museums of Fine Arts Antwerp very well represent how the social encounters with absolutely different means, not necessarily mediated by some digital channels, can be created in the museum as part of the visitor journey. So the sensory synergy is used for the social connection and encounters. In 2022, KMSK was opened after more than 11 years of renovation, and the opening campaign was called The Finest Feeling, again reiterating the connection of art and emotions. And the concept of the museum's programming is also very well connected to emotions, so they kept this idea, this concept, throughout their new endeavors that they are arranging. And one of the initiatives that the museum is organizing is KMSK Late. It's the community-oriented event. On Thursdays, the museum remains open until 10 o'clock. Anyone can come, and the programming is really vivid. You can encounter poetry readings, slow-looking art tours, or speed drawing tours, so basically to cater to any needs of the participants that are coming. We know that there are a lot of visitor segments, a lot of needs. Some people come with the children, and sometimes for children it's just a bit boring to be dragged through the exhibition. This sometimes happens. So KMSK had this very creative way of engaging children. Actually, in the galleries with the museum collection, they installed 10 interventions, the objects, the physical objects created by the artist, which resemble the objects from the paintings. So kids or adults can interact with these objects, but also can try and find them in the paintings so that the journey, the trail, is exciting for every family member. My favorite endeavor by KMSK, again, creating social encounters. Maybe you've heard of it, Radio BART initiative. It's actually a way of mediation on site. So these are the tours organized, initiated by visually impaired guide at the KMSK. This is a long-standing employee of KMSK who was losing sight, but now he's very actively engaged on site, prompting visitors to come and have a conversation with him about art. So he asks visitors to describe some of the paintings without necessarily relying on the visual sense, maybe emotions, feelings that it evokes. And it's actually a very interesting way to engage, again, not relying on our visual way of experiencing art. And for those who are digitally savvy, maybe for the hybrid visitors who come to the museum, who engage online and also pick up the aids in the museum, there's also a digital endeavor which is called Studio Rubens. So visitors can actually ask the question out loud. This question is converted to the text, processed, and this device answers with the voice to the visitors to any question about the paintings. Also another touch point and the activation of visitors throughout the journey that maybe also has this surprise and delight element and aspect. And many more elements of public programming at KMSK. They cater actively to the physical well-being aspect, again, seeing museums as a restorative spaces for peace and quiet. So the museum is providing slow-looking tours, yoga and sound sessions, and also garden workshops. And Probably Kemetske can illustrate very well our outer layer of the visitor journey as the experience gets really emotionally charged, so it really has the connection to visitors' lives, right? It has positive social experience, so we encounter people, we are actually prompted to talk to people whom we don't know. It creates this very unique social connection. We have the surprise and delight, we saw the interventions elements in the exhibition, and we have, again, choice and control, which is very important, engaging as deep as we want with the museum content. So, and as we are speaking today about the hybridization of the visitor journey, if we look at it in the wider scope, presupposing the fusion of digital technologies, but also social interactions, sensory experience, it indeed has opened new avenues for rethinking the audience engagement and creating this connection through emotion. And what I would encourage you to think, emotion necessarily leads to the connection and relevance. When we perceive the institution as relevant to us, we become more loyal, right? We come more often, and it creates, in turn, the resilience for our institutions. Relying on us as visitors, museum can be more resilient. So this is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
Muchas gracias, Olga, por esta fantástica presentación.
Thank you so much for this wonderful presentation, Olga, and for these beautiful projects that you are working on. Once again, it's time for questions from our audience, if there are any. So let's start off over here. Hello, good morning. Thank you so much for your very interesting presentation. I'm Jem Austrell from the area of culture of the Open University of Catalonia. It's a 100% online university with a high proportion of students with disabilities. I'd like to know what you think about digitalizing cultural institutions in terms of accessibility. What does digitalization mean for people living with disabilities, and what can we do to allow them greater access to the cultural offer to ensure that their cultural rights are guaranteed?
Thank you for the question. I think indeed the purpose of digital offers are broadening the access, right, and again prompting the visitors to engage digitally is the way again, to make them rethink some of the things, to engage more. And I think the use of the digital means should be purposefully designed. So they need to be directed at something. They need to follow some purpose. And in this sense, they can be definitely a great vehicle to engage the audiences and provide this access.
Gracias.
Thank you very much. I want to take this occasion to share a reflection at the start of Olga's presentation. So I'm going to share a reflection. At the start of your presentation, you shared some data or some figures telling us that most people, when looking at what motivates people to visit a museum, is to spend time with family or socialize. And this is also closely linked to the research we've conducted from the observatory and the international literature. And most people, when spending free time, they want to be in spaces where they can have fun and socialize and spend time with family and friends. But there are also other studies, for instance, of the image that we tend to give to museums in Spain. And what we see from this research is that more than 30% of Spanish population tend to think of museums as a space where they won't have fun, a space that isn't made for them, and a space where they won't be able to socialize. And they usually respond that when in their free time, they want to spend their time socializing and having fun. So it's just a reflection I wanted to share, so that as a sector, we know that there is a percentage of the population that feel excluded from museum, and it has to do with this data. That is what I wanted to share. Beyond that, I also wanted to mention, or ask you rather, you mentioned that your holistic visitor journey model, you connect personal, social, intellect, emotional, and physical well-being in the lines of John Folk. John Folk also talks about the impact of the museum experience. So my question is, what are the emotional aspects that came up as the most important when generating a memorable experience for visitors?
Support your point. At first, we saw the figures and we saw that learning and educational aspect is actually also leading reasons for non-visitors. So it can be interpreted that it is an obstacle for them to come to the museum because they assign this elitist function to museums and kind of a little bit hesitant around them. So I definitely support this claim that the more open we are in communicating our mission, our purpose, the better. And concerning how the emotional well-being can be measured, it's a big question. We're exploring one. We're actually conducting now a study at one of our institutions now at the Future Museum. We're using the EEG devices to measure the attention peaks and engagement peaks. And basically, the people who are working in museums found it helpful even being on site of the museum and seeing the reactions of the people. So sometimes we go really in depth with the devices and trying to find ways to measure something. But just having this observational data and seeing how visitors engage with the exhibits or are behaving throughout the visitor journey can also be very informing in terms of how emotionally they feel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more questions in the room? Yes, here. Yeah. My question is also related to what Xavier was asking, the issue of education. I'll give you an example. My son, before I took him to school, I'd take him to visit museums, and he had a great time at museums. But once he started going to school, the way in which teachers told them to do things took away his desire to visit museums. Teachers told them that they had to take a notebook and a pen and draw, and it meant that he no longer enjoyed going to the museum to observe art. And now he hates going to museums. So I think there would be a connection between museums and teachers. Or how do you get teachers to take school children to museums to have fun? I don't know how this could be done. But we should try working together with schools and museums to make the experience enjoyable for children.
Absolutely, a very interesting question. And I share your interest as a museum educator as well. Once I have been working on site, mediating the visitor experience to the younger people, actually coming in the group, most skeptic are actually the teachers, especially when you deal with the contemporary art. So they kind of need to tune in, and it's very difficult to convince them, right? So in this sense, the visitors or the younger visitors can be led by their teachers in this way. But again, in the Future Museum, we have this framework connected to our contemporary museums. So this agency, attention, and agora. If we have this agency as visitors, even the smaller ones, the teenagers, the adults ones, if we perceive ourselves as interlocutors, as when the museum is actually interested in what we think and how we interact, this is already a way to go. And again, the attention, not overwhelming the visitors, but being mindful that the needs are different. So this is the way to go. And agora, by the way, coming together in the museum space to discuss the challenges of today, maybe the museum can probably touch upon the topics of the urgency. For example, museums of Victoria in Australia are actually creating on-site, holding on-site the climate cafes So they create this trusted space for the teenagers, for young adults to talk about the climate change. So this is a very unexpected turn the museum is taking, but actually they are creating the safe spaces and they become more and more trusted, I think, with this activity.
And I'd like to add that yesterday we were speaking to our speakers and we mentioned a project from the Young Victoria and Albert Museum. The Young Victoria and Albert Museum is a museum that hasn't been designed for children to go to, but it was designed by children. And there are many, many examples similar to this one. The Catalan Regional Ministry for Culture is developing a project to link the Regional Ministry of Education with the Regional Ministry of Culture, and I'm sure we can come up with many interesting examples. I have another question for you. In your study, you show that many people use the digital channels to prepare for their in-person visit or to expand the information. So I'd like to ask you, how could museums better use the bridge between the on-site and digital world when visitors are preparing a visit to a museum or improving their experience?
Yeah, having this experience is really playful, and I encourage you to check, for example, the website of the Frans Hans Hals Museum in the Netherlands. So they actually engage in a very playful way with the users of the website. At first, you need to identify yourself as an engager or some different roles you can assign to yourself, and then you can go deeper into the content of the museum. And it's done in a very playful and easy way, so that we indeed get rid of this feeling of elitism connected to the museums, and we kind of perceive the museum as our counterpart. So again, reducing this distance, I think, away.
Great. Okay. If there are no further questions, thank you so much, Olga, for being with us.